This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines. Israel launches more deadly attacks on Palestinians in the occupied West Bank as the regime's genocide in Gaza enters its 82nd day. Hamas says Israel has stolen the organs of 80 Palestinians whose dead bodies were abducted by the regime's forces during their onslaught on the territory. And also in our headlines, an IRGC spokesman says the assassination of top Iranian military advisor by Israel reveals the regime's desperation and Iran will respond appropriately. Hello and welcome everybody here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is World News. Our top story for this half hour, Israeli forces have killed six young Palestinian men in an early Wednesday drone strike on Nur Shams refugee camp in the occupied West Bank city of Tulkarm. Palestinian media said several other people were injured in the attack. The regime's troops also bulldozed a number of Palestinian structures during the raid, while snipers were deployed on the rooftops of nearby houses. Meanwhile, Israeli forces arrested 17 people in another West Bank city, Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron. The regime has intensified its deadly crackdown on the Palestinians in the occupied West Bank since the regime launched its genocidal campaign in Gaza. Since October the 7th, the regime forces and settlers have killed hundreds of Palestinians across the West Bank. Our Ramallah correspondent, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier with details about the ongoing Israeli atrocities in the occupied West Bank, including Tulkarm.
During the military operation that is still going on, Israeli forces have attacked Palestinians, opened fire at them. According to the doctors and paramedics in the hospital of Thabet, the government hospital, over seven Palestinians were wounded, and many of those Palestinians, in addition to the seventh, of course, many of those had been beaten by the Israeli soldiers, and the Israeli forces have attacked the people while they were in ambulances on their way to the hospital. A Palestinian doctor had even revealed that one of those Palestinians had been stabbed by an Israeli soldier while he was inside the ambulance, and the Israeli forces have hindered the work of the ambulances. They prevented them from reaching the hospital, but after several hours, they were allowed to be transferred. It seems that the Israelis are meant, and they insist, not only to kill Palestinians, but also those who are being wounded. They want them dead. That's why Israeli forces are preventing Palestinian ambulances from reaching those who have been wounded and transferring them to hospitals. The case is not in Tulkarm. Every time Israeli forces open fire at Palestinians, whether it's a raid, whether at military checkpoints, every time they prevent Palestinian paramedics and ambulances from reaching the wounded and transferring them, of course, to hospitals. And this means they want Palestinians, all of them are dead. They don't want for the Palestinians to be wounded. And that's why they continue their aggression on a daily basis, of course.
Day 82 of Israel's genocidal campaign in the Gaza Strip, the death toll is approaching 21,000, and more residential buildings have been reduced to rubble. The city of Khan Yunis in the south of the Gaza Strip has once again come under deadly air raids and artillery strikes. The Israeli army has also hit the Nusayrat Buraij and Maghazi refugee camps. Health officials in Gaza say Israel has killed more than 240 Palestinians in the past 24 hours and wounded nearly 400 others. The World Health Organization has once again raised the alarm about the dire humanitarian situation in Gaza. The WHO has denounced the Israeli bloodbath and carnage in the Palestinian territory.
We've seen children, women, young men, old men and women, people bleeding out. I, at the same time yesterday at Al-Aqsa, I saw a woman who had multiple gunshot wounds. An attempt was made to refer her, and she was referred back because she was bleeding so heavily. So, I mean, there's blood everywhere in these hospitals at the moment. We're seeing almost only trauma cases come through the door, and at a scale that's quite difficult to believe. It's a bloodbath, as we said before. It's carnage. Across Gaza at the moment, health capacity is at about 20% of what it was 80 or so days ago. So almost all of the hospital beds, almost all of the hospital services have stopped functioning, either because the facilities themselves have been affected, because the staff have been forced to flee, because they run out of power, or they run out of medical supplies, or the staff have not been able to access them.
Meanwhile, fixed-line telecommunications and internet services have been completely shut down in Gaza amid relentless Israeli attacks. That's according to the Palestine Telecommunications Company. The Palestinian Red Crescent, whose headquarters in Khan Yunis was shelled and destroyed by Israel, has now lost contact with its teams in Gaza. It has warned of a major challenge for ambulance and emergency crews in reaching the wounded people. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says Israel has stolen the organs of 80 Palestinians whose dead bodies were abducted by the regime's invading troops in Gaza. Hamas, in a statement, condemned Israel's cruelties after the regime returned the bodies to Gaza in a state of decomposition, which made their identification difficult. Hamas said this heinous crime once again proved Israel's barbarism and moral decline. Gaza's government media office also confirmed that the dead bodies delivered to Gaza were mutilated and their organs were removed. It called for an independent international investigation into the abduction of slain Palestinians and removal of their organs. This is not the first time Israel has stolen organs of dead Palestinians. The regime had in the past admitted that it harvested organs from dead Palestinians. Journalist and political analyst Munir Ahmad believes that Israel commits the worst crime by abducting dead Palestinians and stealing their organs.
This is really the worst thing that U.S. and Israel could do to Palestinians. The genocide is, and the heinous war crimes are gone unnoticed. Despite different voices coming against it from the people, from the states of different UN members. But unfortunately, I don't know what could stop this genocide. Now the 80 dead bodies that were decomposed and the organs of the bodies were stolen. What else could be the worst? This is the height of the war crime. And in this situation, what we should expect, I believe, now is the time the states and UN General Assembly shall immediately come to rescue the innocent killings in Palestinian, and the Gaza shall be restored, and those powers who are against this genocide, they should come together to take any stringent action. And how I really don't believe if the U.S. administration or the U.S. government says anything to Netanyahu and he would reject it. And this is really unbelievable statement from the U.S. government that we are trying to stop it, but the Israeli government is not taking their warnings.
The president of the Palestinian Authority has turned the spotlight on the scale of Israel's brutalities in the besieged Gaza Strip. Mahmoud Abbas says what is happening in Gaza is greater and more horrific than the 1948 Nakba, or catastrophe that led to the forced expulsion of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from their homeland. He said the Israeli prime minister and his cabinet want to get rid of the Palestinians. Abbas said the regime wants to displace the Palestinians from the West Bank and Gaza. Meanwhile, the Norwegian Refugee Council warned that any efforts by Israel to expel and permanently relocate the Palestinians within or from Gaza would constitute a serious breach of international law and amount to an atrocity crime. The spokesman for Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says the Israeli regime is seeking to expand its genocidal war on Gaza to the entire West Asian region by assassinating a senior military advisor in Syria.
One of the reasons was that because the Israeli regime wants to spread this fear of war to borders outside Palestine, and they want to deflect public opinion from the Gaza war. The second point, which is important, is that the Israelis try to actually show off their dominance, their aerial dominance, let's say, and maybe these are the two reasons because of that assassination act that they committed. And maybe another reason is that Israel tries to provoke, actually to stir the sentiments of people, but this will never happen the same way that they have in mind. Because they're, well, because we know them well, and the revenge will be taken in such a way that it will deal a blow to the Zionists.
Ramazan Shadif made the comment in response to a question raised during a news conference in Tehran. He said the assassination of Brigadier General Sayed Razi Mousavi was part of the Israeli plan to turn the Gaza war into an American-Iranian conflict. He added that the Israeli assassination was out of desperation and aimed to cover up its defeat in Gaza. The IRGC spokesman warned that Israel must wait for a direct or indirect response, as Iran reserves the right to counter the Israeli assassination. He added the martyrdom of the Iranian commander will usher in a new era where the Zionist regime will be the loser. Shadif also touched upon the U.S.'s support for Israel, saying Washington is violating international law by funding and backing the regime's crimes in Gaza. Iran's defense ministry has also warned that Israel would receive a smart and strong response to its assassination of the Iranian military advisor in Syria. Salman Kudri has the details.
The Iranian defense ministry spokesman has warned that Israel will have to pay the price for assassinating Iran's senior military advisor in Syria, General Sayed Razi Mousavi. Brigadier General Reza Talai Nik noted the revenge against Israel will be fulfilled at the proper time and place. Speaking at the press conference on Tuesday, the spokesman said the Zionist regime's move to assassinate Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, Brigadier General Mousavi in Damascus, reveals the terrorist nature of Israel. He added that the murder is a clear violation of Syria's sovereignty.
This crime definitely deserves punishment. The Israelis must pay the price for their recent terrorist actions. Iran will give a smart and a strong response to the Israeli strike at the appropriate time and place, and in such a way that the Zionist regime's purposes in carrying out these attacks won't be fulfilled.
Brigadier General Sayed Razi Mousavi was assassinated in a missile strike on a neighborhood in Damascus. He was in charge of the resistance front's logistics in Syria. Mousavi was also comrade of IRGC's late commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated in a U.S. drone attack near Baghdad International Airport in 2020. The IRGC strongly condemned Mousavi's assassination, saying the occupying Israeli regime will pay for this crime.
The developments in the past 4 years following the assassination of General Soleimani show that our enemies, especially the United States, have obtained opposite results from such acts of terrorism. Over the past 4 years, the ideals and patterns of resistance grew in the region and even in the world. Contrary to the terrorist goal of the United States, the resistance front has gained more power than before. The most important issue in the region and the world is still the genocide in Gaza, and the failure and defeat of the Zionists has been revealed to the world, and the regime is going through a dark period.
Experts believe Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps is revered in West Asia for its key role in helping the Iraqi and Syrian armies eliminate the Daesh terror group. And now Israel has once again demonstrated its hostility toward the IRGC and its counter-terrorism campaign by assassinating one of its senior military advisors in Syria. Iranian officials believe that the recent Israeli crimes in the region, such as the Gaza war or the assassination of the Iranian commander in Syria, shows the continued weakness and failure of the Tel Aviv regime, which leads Israel to collapse and complete destruction. Salman Kudri, Tehran.
Several Lebanese citizens have been killed in the overnight Israeli bombardment of southern Lebanon. We're now joined by our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, who's here with an update on the story. Mariam, please share with us the details that you have.
Well, we just have, of course, news that three of the people who were in that house during the Israeli fighter jet raid yesterday, they were martyred. And we know that Ali Bazzi, along with his brother, Brahim Bazzi, and Brahim's wife, have been martyred. They have been killed. There was a fourth person from the Bazzi family who was also wounded. But the issue is that Brahim Bazzi is an expatriate, actually, who is living in Australia. He is in Lebanon for a visit to basically take along his wife with him and travel. And they were due to travel only days from now. Unfortunately, this could not have been the case because the Israelis, of course, raided their house, and that was in the middle of the city of Bint Jebel. And this is one of the biggest cities in South Lebanon, especially in the bordering areas. It's true there are bordering areas. It does border, of course, the northern occupied Palestine, but there are many people who remain residing inside the city of Bint Jebel. And this is basically an area where you have a lot of residential areas. It's maybe sometimes industrial. There are a lot of shops. Many people in that area basically go to Bint Jebel. And so we did have a lot of residents. Unfortunately, the Israelis raided and attacked and shelled the middle of the city, killing these three people. Of course, we know that usually Hezbollah, after the killing of civilians, there is a retaliation using Katyusha rockets. We are still waiting to see where the retaliation will take place. We know that Hezbollah will definitely retaliate for this crime, which they say is unacceptable. We know that there was an operation just this morning by Hezbollah against the Israeli post in the Nakura area. We're talking about the sea post here. And this is basically on the coast of the border. This is the first operation that was conducted today early in the morning.
Thanks a lot, Mariam Saleh, joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
EuroMed Human Rights Monitor has renewed its call on the international community, especially the signatory states to the Geneva Convention, to carry out their responsibilities to provide protection for civilians in the Gaza Strip. It further stressed that the need for a permanent ceasefire has become urgent and that, in order to stop the ongoing genocide war, an immediate international investigation must be launched into the Zionist regime's horrific crimes. Any countries that remain silent are actively encouraging Israeli regime genocide, the rights group said. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, the Israeli regime army has executed dozens of elderly people in Gaza in direct shooting operations since October 7th, a human rights group has said. In a statement issued recently, EuroMed Human Rights Monitor said, 1,049 elderly men and women have been killed so far. About 1% of the estimated 107,000 elderly people who live in the Gaza Strip, and 3.9% of all Palestinian deaths during the aggression. The majority of them were crushed to death under the debris of their homes or the shelter centers where they sought safety after Israeli aircraft bombed their homes or while being forced to seek basic necessities in the streets and marketplaces. Alarmingly, however, dozens were targeted in killings and failed executions, the group said. The Geneva-based organization stated that it had received horrifying testimony regarding killings and failed executions of several people over the age of 60. The statement added, these incidents included troops shooting elderly people immediately after ordering them to evacuate their homes and, in some cases, executing them just moments after their release from hours or days of arbitrary detention. The group also stated the elderly are paying a high price for the disproportionate attacks carried out by Israeli forces, as hundreds of them have been killed in Israel's genocide and thousands more injured. According to the group, numerous elderly civilians, including both men and women over the age of 70 and even 80, have experienced detention. It added, testimonies from released detainees affirm that they were denied access to treatment and subjected to torture and abuse regardless of their difficult health situation and or advanced age. According to Euromed Monitor, Israel is waging a campaign of widespread punishment and killing and oppressing Palestinian society's most vulnerable groups in a way that is seldom seen in the modern history of wars or armed conflicts. The organization renewed its call on the international community, especially the signatory states to the Geneva Convention, to carry out their responsibilities to provide protection for civilians in the Gaza Strip. According to Gaza's Ministry of Health, 20,424 Palestinians have been killed and 54,036 wounded in the Zionist regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza starting on October 7th. Palestinian and international estimates say that the majority of those killed and wounded are women and children. The website of Euromed Human Rights Monitor wrote, the Geneva-based organization stated that it had received horrifying testimony regarding killings and failed executions of several people over the age of 60. These incidents included troops shooting elderly people immediately after ordering them to evacuate their homes and, in some cases, executing them just moments after their release from hours or days of arbitrary detention. According to Euromed Monitor, the elderly Dr. Akram Abu Hasira and his wife were shot and left to bleed to death by the Zionist regime forces on Thursday, December 21st, after being forcibly evacuated from their home on Yarmouk Street in Gaza City. The Zionist regime's troops then set fire to their home. Their son, Dr. Mahmoud Abu Hasira, reported that after the Zionist regime forces withdrew from the area, their family managed to bury the couple's bodies. Furthermore, Ahmad Suleiman Hassan Muhammad Abdul Al, a 60-year-old mentally ill man, was shot and killed in his Jabalia camp home on December 13th, said Euromed Monitor, adding his killing occurred after Israeli regime troops stormed the camp and Abdul Al's home after a days-long siege on the Yemeni hospital. Abdel Nasser Khadar Habub, 62, was also killed, Euromed Monitor reported, when Israeli regime forces fired an artillery shell at him shortly after his release from a two-day detention. This incident also claimed the lives of Palestine University's College of Information Technology Dean, Dr. Ahmad Hamdi Abu Absa, 38. An eyewitness told Euromed Monitor that Habub and his family took refuge in the Holy Family School after an Israeli regime bombing targeted a house in which they were taking refuge, and that they had previously fled their own home due to the heavy Israeli regime bombing of Gaza City. The day after the family's arrival at the school on December 8, the Zionist regime forces stormed the building and abducted all the men and some women, stripping the men and taking them to an unknown destination. After midnight on December 10th, the Zionist regime forces released a group of abductees, including multiple elderly people, then targeted them only minutes later with a tank shell and a quadcopter flying over their heads, causing the death of Habub along with the academic Abu Hafsa. Euromed Monitor also documented the execution of an elderly man named Nawaf Muhammad Musa Azain on December 10th during the evacuation of the Auni al-Harthani school in Beit Lahia project in northern Gaza. The Beit Hanun resident Azain had been displaced with his family several times before the Zionist regime forces stormed the school where they were taking refuge. He was shot in the head, Human Rights Organization reported. The Euromed Monitor team further documented the execution of Bashir Haji, 71, of Gaza City's Zaytun neighborhood. Haji was killed by the Zionist regime forces while attempting to cross Salahuddin the Strip's main road on November 10th. His murder occurred shortly after the Zionist regime army published a picture showing one of its troops talking to Haji in the picture. The troop is pretending to be protecting and assisting Palestinian civilians during their displacement. Hala Haji, the granddaughter of the elderly Haji, told the Euromed Monitor team that her grandfather, who appeared in the Zionist regime army photo, was brutally executed while crossing the displacement road. He died after being shot multiple times in the head and back, she revealed.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
The Israeli war minister is saying that the regime is being attacked from seven different theaters in the midst of the genocidal war on Gaza. Yoav Gallant says that Israel has responded to six of those fronts and threatened that anyone who acts against Israel is a potential target. Now, one of those fronts, Gallant mentioned, was Iran. On Monday, a top commander of Iran's IRGC in Syria was assassinated in an Israeli missile strike targeting his house in Damascus. In the meantime, the resistance front in the region is adamant to respond to the Israeli-American crimes being perpetrated in Gaza. That and more topics in this episode of The Spotlight Today. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Allow me to introduce our guests. Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst, is joining us from Brussels.
Also with us is Khaled Barakat, a spokesperson of the Masar al-Badir movement in Vancouver, Canada. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. Elijah, beginning with you, let's talk about Christmas celebrations this year and how different they could be given this genocide going on. And you know, IOF soldiers have no regard for any religion, Muslims, Christians alike, rituals, nationalities, what your job is. You're a journal, you're a doctor, whoever you are. They hit mosques, they hit churches. So, and anybody standing in their way, as the war minister was saying, is a legitimate target, as the Israeli authorities actually, they themselves proclaim. So let's talk about the atmosphere of the Christmas holidays this year to begin with.
For Israel, there are no Christmas holidays because for them, killing Christians or Muslims is exactly the same, because they consider any Palestinians, according to the Manifest of 1977 of the People's Party, any presence of any Palestinian, regardless his religion, is a threat to the state of Israel. Therefore, what they are doing, what the Israeli occupation forces are doing in Gaza, is to destroy as many possible as homes and infrastructure and kill as many civilians, mainly children and women. That is because Israel has failed to achieve its objectives to destroy Hamas and to occupy Gaza and to free all the prisoners. This is why for them there is no consideration of the Christmas holiday or to any religion holidays, because for them they have the superpower, the United States of America, supporting them at the United Nations, blocking any veto decision of a ceasefire, and will also put obstacles against any investigation of Israel war crime that Israel has overtly admitted on televisions. Therefore, for the Israelis, being a Christmas or any other holiday, for them, it's exactly business as usual. Nothing has changed and nothing will change. Mm.
And New Yorkers were saying that this shouldn't be Christmas as usual in their protest the other day anyway. Now, Khaled, Israeli officials are still talking about being attacked from multiple fronts, seven fronts. You know, he mentioned Iran, Syria, you know, Lebanon, Gaza itself, Yemen. And they're talking of self-defense and all jazz, and they're playing the victim while they're attacking incessantly, and the world is watching what's happening in Gaza. How could they then ignore all the savage crimes that they are committing blatantly against Palestinians on a daily basis?
Yes. Thank you for having me. And before I answer this question, I just want to mention that Palestinians in general and Palestinian Christians in particular are not celebrating Christmas at all. And we know that Palestine is the place of the birth of Christianity. Across the board, Palestinian Christians are not just condemning the Israeli atrocities and war crimes, but also there were no celebration in Palestine this year in Christmas. And there has been calls by Palestinian Christians to the world and to churches, to people of conscience, especially you know, Christians and others, to condemn Israeli war crimes. As for your question, which is, I think it's the central question in terms of Israel behavior, Israel always behave as the victim. And at the same time, I haven't seen any victim who possess, you know, 300 nuclear warheads and commit atrocities and war crimes, you know, 24/7, and does not care whatsoever about any, you know, international law. In fact, just yesterday, you know, the international, you know, international figures around the world, especially in the human rights sectors, were saying that Israel have violated every law in the book of international law. Now, the reason that Israel get away with it is because Israel is supported by the United States and the Western colonialist power. Israel is their project, and the Zionist regime have always relied on the United States for protection, for support, for financial and military support. That's why we view this genocide that is taking place in Gaza as a U.S. and Israel genocide, because it is happening with the U.S. support, with U.S. weapons, with U.S. Cover. Now, in terms of the Seven Fronts, which is important, because they're trying to bring, to bring back some biblical methodology about the Seven Fronts as well, in order to mobilize their society based on a religion, war and religion, conflict. And at the same time, we know that these fronts that Israel is talking about is the camp of resistance in the region that is trying to protect the Palestinian people rights and the Palestinian people cause, but also to protect the region from U.S. hegemony and from Israel hegemony. Israel wants to dominate in the region, and it looks, it is a temporary regime. It is a Western colony, and yet they're looking at Yemen, Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, as if they are visitors in the region. And this is really, a classic Israeli and colonialist behavior.
Okay. Now, Elijah, Khaled mentioned Yemen as one of those fronts that Israel is talking about and saying that it's being targeted and playing the victim there. And Yemenis, they are conducting operations. They're intercepting and targeting all ships destined for Israel or somehow having to do with Israel. But the U.S. has formed this coalition of 20 countries and trying to blame the Yemenis for bringing insecurity for maritime transportation. Who is bringing insecurity, the U.S. or the Yemenis? The Yemenis are saying that we are just targeting Israeli-related ships, and that's because of what they're doing to the people in Gaza.
Well, first of all, the Israeli, I don't think they're playing the victim. On the contrary, they're trying to attract the Americans into the battlefield, and they're telling the Americans, as Benjamin Netanyahu told President Biden, from day one, everybody is attacking us, and this is why a coalition was formed to support the Israelis, and this is again the reason why the Americans send their carriers to the Middle East. So what the Israelis are desperately trying to do is to open more fronts, so to make it not the Palestinian cause as a reason of this war, but to divert the attention away from the Palestinian cause and saying, well, our war actually is not with the Palestinians that have been attacked, killed, and imprisoned for the last 75 years, but it is actually with Iran and all its allies. Well, so far, it has succeeded. In relation to Yemen, Yemen said specifically that this act is only to protect the people of Gaza and in the name of the children and women of Gaza. And Yemen asked the Israelis to stop and lift the siege and impose a ceasefire, otherwise this will continue. Actually, it is the human duty of every single country, not only the Muslims, but other Christian and Muslim countries around the world, to stand with the Palestinian cause. There are Muslim and Christian in Palestine, including Jews. The problem is not with the Jews, the problem is with the Zionists and what the Israelis are doing. So this is when the Pope stood up and said, what Israel is doing is terrorism. Yemen is fighting terrorism, is fighting the Israeli terrorism. The Iraqi resistance are doing exactly the same. Hezbollah is doing the same. Iran is encouraging its allies to stand against the terrorism of the Israelis against 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza. And Yemen said it very clearly, stop the war, stop, lift the siege, and everything will return to normality. And Yemen didn't say that it's going to stop every ship, but only the ship destined to Israel.
Yeah, and it was stressed just an hour ago, the army spokesman was there making the statement. Now, Khaled, this multi-pronged resistance front taking action against Israel, it also consists of Iraq, like Elijah just mentioned, and just recently in response to Iraqi resistance fighters, anti-U.S. operations, they have drones targeting U.S. bases both in Iraq and Syria.
Now we have the U.S. Central Command confirming that American strikes have hit three facilities belonging to Iraq's anti-terrorist PMU-affiliated groups. And Baghdad is saying that these attacks harm relations between the two countries. Let's have your take on this.
Well, first of all, why are there is U.S. military bases in our region, whether in Iraq or in Syria or in Jordan or anywhere in West Asia? Why there is United States bases? Now, they say that these military bases are there based on a mutual agreement with the government. But this is not really the situation. If you do a referendum today in Iraq, most people in Iraq wants to see these U.S. bases leave Iraq. In Syria, it's the United States is an occupation and occupied power. The United States have military bases across, and it is there contrary to the willing to people's choice. And the other thing is that why is these United States bases are in the region? We have to go back to the roots of the problem. The United States is viewed by the vast majority of the people of the region as a colonialist power. They're trying to, impose their hegemony over the will of the people. And they talk about democracy. You know, this crime that they just committed in Syria, killing, an Iranian official, Mr. Radi Mousavi. Just imagine if a country assassinates an Israeli minister or an Israeli ambassador.
Commander.
Israel invaded Lebanon in 1982 under the pretext of one of its ambassadors have been subject to an attempt of assassination in London. Mm. And they invaded the West Bank because a Palestinian resistance group assassinated an Israeli minister. And yet they get away with these crimes. And we know that they have been behind all these assassinations against Arab and Iranian scientists.
Exactly. Now, Elijah, speaking about Mr. Mousavi, I want to ask you, what is it that gives the Tel Aviv regime this audacity to openly make announcement and then take out anyone with opposing views in broad daylight, like Brigadier General Razi Mousavi? How could they assassinate Iranian military commanders who helped West Asia? They helped Iraq, Syria, others at their own petition, overcome the scourge of terrorism.
For Israel, anyone who stands with the oppressed people around the world is considered as a threat. For the Israelis, the support that Iran is giving to the Lebanese Hezbollah, to Hamas, to the Islamic Jihad, to the Syrian to liberate their territory from ISIS and the attempt of failed state that was carried out by the Americans and their allies, and for the Americans to support the Iraqis to free themselves from ISIS and stand with Yemen, all these are acts that putting obstacles in front of the Americans and the Israelis who would like to see the Middle East divided. So Said Mousavi in Syria was coordinating with all these allies to support them with the logistic and with the support. This is why it is not unusual for the Islamic Jihad and Hamas to come out and condemn the Israeli assassination. It's because they know the value that this man was bringing to the Palestinian resistance and to the Lebanese resistance and to the Iraqi. And this is why the Israelis believe anything that is happening today in Gaza and what used to happen in the West Bank and the strength of Hezbollah, all that comes from Iran. And because that puts obstacles in front of the Israelis, then they look for a target where they think the Israelis and the Americans that they can hit or send a message to Iran. They don't understand that the leadership in Iran is horizontal and is not vertical. If one person goes away, there are 10 or 100 others that can replace the same person, and the past continues.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Good point. And Khaled, there are some observers arguing that the recent assassination of Brigadier General Mousavi, Iran's IRGC commander, is an open invitation to Iran and to try to kind of pull Iran in and to force Iran to take some military action against the Tel Aviv regime. Do you share that standpoint?
Absolutely. This is exactly what Netanyahu wants. Netanyahu wants to continue the war, the war against people in Gaza, and he wants to also expand the war in other fronts and invite the United States into this. And he thinks that by carrying these assassinations, that he's following the steps of the United States when, let's not forget that they are the one who killed General Qasem Soleimani. And, but the United States, I think they're aware of Netanyahu's, attempts, and not because the United States is nice, but because they actually don't want to have be involved in a war because of Netanyahu personal interest. If there was a United States interest in the manner, I think they would go for it. Now, I think that Iran is aware of Israel attempts and Israeli plots. And it is really a general wisdom in the region that this is what Netanyahu is trying to do, is trying to create chaos and shift, the cards by doing these crimes against Iranian leadership.
Now, Elijah Netanyahu this reminds me of the Israeli Prime Minister speaking about voluntary migration of people from Gaza. Voluntary? I mean, you hit civilians, you hit their homes, mosques, churches, hospitals, everybody, everything, every living thing, and then you starve them to death, and then you call this voluntary? So what is forced displacement then?
Well, I think one of the blessings of this war on Gaza is to reveal the real face of the Israelis and how they lie on television and nobody believe them. Actually, I think this war was necessary for the people to return and embrace the Palestinian cause once again, withstanding the atrocity of the killing of children and women. Nevertheless, the people today support the Palestinian cause unlike their leaders. There is a big difference of the popular support of the Palestinian cause because of what's happening in Gaza, and people are more enlightened about all the lies that are emanating from all the Israelis who started by saying we want to defend ourselves and they are an occupation forces that can defend themselves. And secondly, they asked the Palestinians to move from the north to Khan Yunis in the south, and then they bombed them in the north and in Khan Yunis, and then they asked them to move to Rafah, and they bombed
and
them
they
in
hit Rafah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, so you see how the Israelis are really driving the population to their death. They're not trying to look after them. They're not trying to minimize the casualty, and they're not trying to watch a voluntarily exodus of the Palestinians. On the contrary, they wanted to kick them out to Egypt.
Exactly. And recently they have been doing something else. They have been killing civilians at point blank range. How they could justify that, I don't know. Now, Khaled, we have 1 minute. If you could tell me, how likely do you think this U.S.-Israeli genocidal war on Palestinians, how could that actually engulf the whole West Asia region? Because they don't seem to be, willing to stop this anytime soon.
Then the United States are heading towards a strategic defeat. The Palestinian people have gave so much sacrifices in the last 3 months and willing to sacrifice for the protection of their rights and their cause and their resistance. We have to look at Gaza and see these atrocities and war crimes that Israel is committing and support the Palestinian people struggling. But at the same time, we have to look at the brave Palestinian resistance that is, really showing the ability of the Palestinian people and the people of the region to be able to fight colonialism, to fight racism, to fight this, Zionist regime and defeat this Zionist regime. I think Palestinians are going to come out victorious from this confrontation.
Okay. On that note, we'll come to the end of this show. Thank you, my guests, Elijah Magner in Brussels, Khaled Barakat in Vancouver.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
النقي means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was the 10th divinely appointed Imam, and he was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was the son of the 9th divinely appointed Imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. He was the divinely appointed trustee, He was the divinely appointed rightful successor, and he was the divinely appointed Khalifatullah for the Muslims. We find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the only representative at the forefront of the opposition to the rule of the corrupt Abbasid caliphs. He was one of the prominent leaders of the Muslim Ummah who struggled against tyranny and oppression. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam took a brave and unwavering position against the tyrannical kings of his age. He did not associate with any of them. Rather, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam preferred to stay away from these tyrannical kings. And therefore, these kings held grudges and an enmity against Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, and they inflicted him with severity and violence, ultimately leading to the martyrdom of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Parts of Ziyara text of Jamaatul Kabira issued by Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As-salamu ala a'immat al-huda wa masabih al-tuja wa a'lam al-tuqa wa dawilluha.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thought, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call, and the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's Prophet, and the progeny of Allah's Messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat al-du'at.
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, his select, his party, the case of his knowledge, his argument, his path, his light, his proof. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, this divinely appointed imam, from the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, of course, because he is this divinely appointed imam, he is appointed by the